Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'm going to tell a Zen love story. It's about love born out of unself-conscious intimacy with each other and with all things. In case 29 of the Book of Equanimity, the following conversation takes place between Jizo and Hogen, and I've mentioned this many times before, but it's one of my favorite koans. Jizo asks Hogen, "Where have you come from?" And Hogen answers, "I pilgrimage endlessly." Jizo asks, "What is the matter of your pilgrimage?" And Hogen replies, "I don't know." "Not knowing is the most intimate," Jizo responds. And in that moment, Hogen experiences deep enlightenment. I'm always moved by these words, "not knowing is most intimate," because it's a clear and direct pointing to the heart of the matter that we sit for. In the moment of our not knowing, there is no separation. We are each other. We are the universe. And from this experience, the emotion that naturally arises is love. Rumi wrote, "The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind I was." Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. Suzuki Roshi used to talk about big mind and small mind. And when he used the word small mind, he was referring to our everyday mind, the mind that perceives the world dualistically, in terms of good and bad, hot and cold, you and me. This is the way that most of us are accustomed to perceiving things. When he used the words big mind, he was referring to the mind that doesn't know, the mind that is beyond all concepts, the mind that is at one with the universe. And this mind was expressed also by Rumi in the following poem. "Within the beloved's water of life, no illness remains. In the beloved's rose garden of union, no thorn remains. They say there is a window from one heart to another. How can there be a window where no wall remains?" So let's look a little closer and see how love functions from the relative perspective, or small mind, and the absolute perspective, which Suzuki called big mind. The type of love that most people are familiar with is romantic love. This love is dualistic in that there is the one who loves and the one who is loved. It is a love that relies on how it makes one, the one who loves, feel. Good, euphoric, affirmed, important, desired, and on and on and on. It's an intense experience, which if unrequited leads to frustration, anger, hurt, revenge, disillusionment, pain, and ultimately suffering, because it is selfish. That is self-oriented. It's based on a dualistic view. Psychologist Mark Talis, who wrote a book called Love Sickness, Love as Mental Illness. In that book, he points out that mental states associated with falling in love are remarkably similar to states associated with mental illness. Such states include expansive mood, inflated self-esteem, decreased need for sleep, a pressure to talk, racing thoughts, distractibility, increased activity, and general disregard for the consequences of pleasure-seeking. These states are almost wholly reliant on the existence of another. If the object of our affection does not respond or withdraws, a crash takes place accompanied by depression, feelings of abandonment, resentment, revenge, and even rage. Poets since the beginning of transcription have expressed these experiences in their poetry. Shakespeare wrote a poem entitled A Lover's Complaint, which is a graphic illustration of the point that psychologist Talis made. And I made a copy of this poem, A Lover's Complaint. I will spare you. I will not read it. Love, on the other hand, seen from the absolute perspective, arises from becoming intimate with life. Instead of falling in love with life, which is still dualistic, we fall into life. And when we fall into life, there is no separation. We are life itself. At this point, there is no separate self. Everything we encounter is ourselves. And love is the natural emotional expression of this unity. There is no object singled out and separate to be loved. There is just a state of love. And the activity of that love is compassion. Jashu, in delivering a sermon, said, Buddhahood is passion, and passion is Buddhahood. And after the sermon, a monk approached him and asked, In whom does a Buddha cause passion? And Jashu answered, Buddha causes passion in all of us. Then he asked, How do I get rid of it? And Jashu said, Why would you want to get rid of it? This is not self-centered passion that Jashu is speaking of. It's the natural response we have when we enter the way. It is life making love with life. I'd like to end with a short line from a book by Rilke entitled The Enlightened Heart. Isn't the secret intent of this great earth, when it forces lovers together, that inside their boundless emotion all things may shudder with joy? So let's continue to sit together so that we all may venerate life as a state of deep spiritual intimacy. Let all of us enter the stream, making love with life, which is so sensual and so beautiful. Not knowing is most intimate.